So how's everybody doing today? Everybody excited to be at church? Amen. Excited? Excited, yeah. We get to see Tanya baptized and the Misi family join. And I'm telling you, there's not more people out there that's too much better. That's okay, Jared. You probably put that off-centered a little bit, but we'll get it figured out here. He's been on vacation for like forever, so he kind of forgot how that goes, but we'll get it together. I got to tell you, I grew up in the Frank Clay Assembly of God Church, and there was a song they would always sing. And maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. It was like this. It said, I have so much to thank him for. I have so much to praise him for. And sometimes all I can say to God is just thank you. Thank you. I mean, just simply, I can't put into words how much he blesses us and how great he is to us. So sometimes simply the best way to put it is just thank you. Thank you, God, for the honor to see such a beautiful family coming to join our church. Hardworking, you know, big hearts, just a joyful, loving, caring family, and to baptize, have the honor to baptize Tanya Misi and to rejoice with her. I mean, sometimes I just say, thank you. Thank you. And then sometimes whenever I read his word, I'm like, I don't know if I can live up to that. I don't know. This is too much for me. And that's kind of where we're going today. As much as I want to say thank you, I also have to look at today's text in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, as if, oh, sometimes I just look at it, you know, like that big sigh. Did y'all catch that? That, oh, just this text, I don't know if I can, do I truly take it at what it says? Do I really live it? And this is what we're going to do. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And if you've been here the last few weeks, you've seen that we've been in this verse for now the third week. And next week is our last time to visit this text. But what we've been doing is we've been breaking down this particular passage. And it's kind of been a mini-series and a big series, and it's been really ministering to my heart because the first week we started with what Jesus said at first. He said to them all, he said, if anyone. And that week we spent the opportunity or the time that we had to really dig into the fact that the invitation to follow Jesus is for anyone. I mean, anyone, everyone. We took the word anyone, and I broke it up into two words, and I said it's open for anyone, talking about the shepherd who left the 99 for the one. And I think my favorite part of that message was when I was able to walk around and just say that Jesus left his throne for this one, and for this one, and for this one, and for that one, and for this one, and for this one. Like, he left his throne for me and for you. Therefore, we should preach the gospel and be willing to take the gospel of Jesus to anyone. It doesn't matter who they are, what their name is, what they've been doing. It doesn't matter what their lifestyle looks like. We should still express the love of God to anyone, to everyone. Last week we talked about would come after me and how that's is a pursuit that we live with whenever we truly want to know Jesus, when we truly want to follow him. Some translations say if you want to be my disciple, if you want to know me, if anyone would come after me, if you want to truly know who I am, you must come after me. And it's this pursuit that we must have. And I said that if you are not pursuing him greater than you are pursuing someone or something else, you've gotten it out of order. If we do not have him as our greatest pursuit, we shouldn't pursue anything or anyone else until he is our number one pursuit, until he is all that we desire. Because what we'll do is if we don't have him in our lives, every other relationship and every other opportunity will not reach its full potential. If he's not the centerpiece of my marriage, I'll never be able to love my wife. And I'll never be able to receive the mercy and the grace that I deserve when I screw things up, which happens often. And thank God for the mercy and the grace that he gives to my wife to express to me. Now today we get to read the next part, and it says, let him deny himself. Can you just read that to yourself? Let him deny himself. Let's just go ahead and start with this truth. I believe, and maybe it's not a truth, maybe it's an opinion, but I believe that the biggest barrier to become a true follower of Jesus Christ is simply self-denial. I mean, just think about it for a second. Wouldn't it be self-denial, maybe? Maybe that's the biggest reason some people don't go all in, is because, maybe because that would literally mean we must deny ourselves of ourselves. Does anyone else here love yourself? No, you all are some holy folks in this place. Anyone here love yourself? Just be honest. I do. And I remind my wife that I love myself. I remind everybody that I love myself. I remind my wife of my brilliance and all of these. Not really, I'm just kidding. But I do love myself. I would be depressed all the time if I didn't love myself. I mean, I can hardly love anyone else very well. I have to love myself. But here's the scary thing. The society and the culture in which we live tells us that it's all about me. It's all about my wants. It's all about my desires. It's all about my schedule. It's all about my time. It's all about my family, my money. And now we're real big on my feelings and my opinions. It's all about me. And I get to voice me on Facebook. I get to share me on Twitter or Instagram. It's all about me, all about me, all about me. Can somebody just say me? Just say it. Me. Let's say it again. Me. Isn't that beautiful? It's all about me. I heard a preacher one time sing what is the ladder of the hand signals when you go do, re, mi? What is that? You do it in choir. The do, re, mi, so, fa, la, ti, do. It's the soulfish, all right? Whenever you sing the soulfish in choir, it starts with do, re, mi. The third note is me. And I heard a preacher one time say that they never get past the me. And sometimes that's the biggest song of our lives is me, 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 me. I want to live for my future. I want to live for my money. I want to live for my wants, my desires, my flesh, my lust, my. And when Jesus says, let him deny himself, he's not saying, let's just go ahead and clear the air. He's not saying to deny yourself for an hour or two on Sunday morning and everything's good. Because that's kind of where we go, like, okay, if I just deny myself from a good golf game or shopping or sleeping in or doing this, I'll deny myself for a couple of hours on Sunday morning, everything's good. Or I'll deny myself on a Friday night and serve dinner at a Celebrate Recovery. I'll deny myself on a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night, back to back, and fold clothes and sort clothes and carry clothes. I'll deny myself a whole Saturday to go and to be a light to our community in the Share Your event. I'll deny myself. And for the longest time, that's the denying of myself that I thought Jesus was talking about. If I just deny myself here and there, I am good to go. And the reality is Jesus is saying, let him deny himself. And what he's really meaning is that deny yourself completely of yourself. Completely. Denying yourself of yourself. And what I wanted to think about was the moment that I stand before Christ one day, he's going to tell me one of two things. My faith and my trust is in that he's going to tell me, job well done, my good and faithful servant. He's going to welcome me home. I mean, I don't ever want to be cast out of his presence and condemned for eternity. But what is he going to tell those people? He's going to say, I did not know you. I did not know you. And this is what I learned about really knowing and following Christ. In order for me to truly know who Jesus is, I must completely forget about myself. And this is what Jesus is saying whenever he says, let him deny himself. He's saying, get rid of all of your rights, get rid of all of your tastes, get rid of everything, and pursue the desires that I have for you. Seek my will, seek my way, seek my mercy, seek my grace, seek my wisdom, seek everything about me. And when you deny yourself completely of yourself, yes, you're going to live counterculturally, but that's okay because Jesus said the wide gate that leads to destruction is traveled by many, the narrow gate which is traveled by few, that leads to life. Of course you're going to stand out. Of course people are going to wonder what's going on with you, and what's wrong with you, and why you're acting weird. It's because you're living for the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. You're living for the cross. You're living for him. You're denying yourself. And I'm telling you, I think this is the most difficult aspect of becoming a follower of Jesus, is living in self-denial. And I think what it is it's a discipline that we have to develop. This is my opinion on denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily in order to follow him. To truly deny myself, it is a discipline that I have to develop over time. Let me just share one for example. I love the idea and don't break my heart, but I love the idea of being fit. I love it. I love the idea of sweating and running and just, you know, throwing myself on the body and puking and all this stuff, just being fit, you know, like fit. I picture myself on the beach like Zac Efron, you know, just walking around the beach. And I picture myself, you know, and that's what my dream is, to be fit again. I used to be fit, and then I had kids, and, I mean, my wife had them. I helped, but... I gained this thing called sympathy weight, and it's scientifically proven that men develop this hormone when their wife is pregnant, that they can't help but to gain weight. It's scientifically proven, all right? I'm backing up science on this claim, and that's what happened. Then we had one, then my wife thought it'd be great to have another one. And we had another one, and here we go for number three, round number three. And I told her, I said, I've got to reverse the script here. I can't allow the devil to steal my money anymore, buying new clothes and bigger clothes. And, you know, I know I'm supporting a lot of kids overseas who are working in shops putting clothes together, but I'm tired of it. I want to be fit. That's my dream. But the reality is we have a dream of being one thing, but do I possess the discipline that is necessary in order to get there? Do I possess the discipline? Clearly not. Clearly not. You know, I've heard some people say, I don't need a personal trainer. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I need a personal trainer because I know how to work out. I've done CrossFit, I've done weightlifting, I've done Marine Corps stuff. I know how to kind of put a good workout together, get a good sweat and work out. But those same people say, I just need someone to follow me around and slap the food out of my hand before I consume it. Like, I need someone to hold me accountable and discipline myself because I don't possess this or possess the self-discipline in order to reach my dream or reach my goal. And I swear I would be the fittest preacher in Missouri if I had someone following me around and slapping me in the face anytime I touch the styrofoam cup. Because there's just something about the sensation of my hand reaching for this 44-ounce cup and hearing it pop out of place and watching the ice hit the cup and hearing the soda fizz on the ice. And there's just something about putting that straw in and hearing that as it goes in, because I know what's going to come out is going to please my soul. There's just something about the burning sensation that I get after the first drink of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper or Coke. There is. Do I possess the discipline? And I'm working on myself. I'm trying to get there. But the reality is it's difficult. This is a daily discipline that I have to develop. And when it comes to following Jesus, it's still about this discipline, a daily discipline that we develop over time with the aid of the Holy Spirit. So let me just give you another one. I love. So in CrossFit workouts, you do these workouts, and they're like three or four rounds of this one workout, and they call it three rounds for time, three RFT. Okay, that's the lingo. And you know, okay, I'm going to do three rounds for time and go hard as I can. And one thing I've done is I love doing the CrossFit version, but I also like doing the Keen version. And the Keen version is to get an ice cold cup out of the fridge, pour milk into it, and grab eight Oreos. And you do two Oreos, chug a milk, four rounds for time. Let's see how fast I can consume these Oreos in milk. And I'm going to write it down, and I'll beat that time next time. But that's just the reality of me. Like, I have this big dream of living fit and being healthy and, you know, running with my kids and biking through the park and all of these things. But do I really possess the discipline that is necessary in order to get there? More times than I don't. And it's the same when it comes to following Jesus. We have this dream, we have this vision of, I want to be a Christ follower, I want to be a prayer warrior, I want to be a Christian. And we have this dream of being this true, genuine, authentic, life-changing Christian who's going to be a light in this world. But the reality is we don't really possess the discipline of denying ourselves and living for Him. And that discipline is developed over time, and it's developed with the aid of the Holy Spirit, who's there to convict us and to guide us and to shape us and to mold us and form us into His likeness. That is our discipline, is telling ourselves, no, I'm not living for my desires. I'm not living for my flesh. I'm not living for my lust. I'm not living for my pleasures. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to deny myself completely of myself and seek Him. Do we really possess the discipline to do so? Because we can possess the discipline to deny ourselves for an hour or two on Sunday morning, an hour or two once a month to serve in this capacity or another. That's not very difficult. And that's not really denying ourselves. That's just kind of entertaining others. Because I can live as a fan for a long time and try to fool people all around me while entertaining them, while showing them something that I'm not really carrying out. It's kind of like calling myself a Christian but not carrying it out. It's claiming to be something that I cannot carry it out. I'm not truly denying myself. I'm just simply entertaining myself and others along the way. But when he says deny himself, deny myself, I have to realize it is a discipline that I have to develop of telling myself no, telling myself no to this pleasure, no to this person, no to this place, no to this lifestyle. And that's the reality, because we love to live for me. It's all about me, and we love to do what I know is the P's. We like to seek our own pleasures. We like to have our own possessions, and we like to serve and live and follow certain people. And Jesus is saying, until you can deny yourself of those possessions, of those pleasures, and of those people, you will never truly know me. You might know a little bit about me, but you'll never truly know who I am, because Jesus came to give us life. He came to give us life more abundantly. And here's the reality. If I cannot deny myself of the pleasures and the people and the possessions, then I'll never be able to see the real promise, the real presence, and the real power of my God in my life. So here's what I've come to realize. The longer that I live in the pleasures of sin, the longer I live away from the power, the presence, and the promises of my God. This is how it is. You know, because sin likes to present itself as powerful and as beautiful as it can. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Right before Eve ate of the fruit, because we know it was her fault. It's always the woman's fault that bad things happen. I'm just kidding. Don't take that serious. But it was her fault in this particular circumstance. Maybe. But before she ate of the fruit, the Bible says that she saw that it was a delight to her eyes, and it was beautiful. And that's exactly what sin wants to do. Sin wants to present itself to be beautiful and to give you pleasure and to give you joy. And sin wants to remind you that this is an outlet, or this is a safe space, or this is a way to take the edge off, or this is a way to please yourself, when really all you're doing is destroying yourselves. So when God told them in the garden, he said, you can eat of every other tree in the garden but this one. Don't eat from it, because the moment that you do, you will surely die. You will perish. And people are like, well, why would God not want me to be me? And why would God not want me to live for me? And why would God not want me to have fun? I mean, he's kind of this grumpy old man, and he doesn't ever let me do anything. And why would he not want me to have fun and be good and just have a good time in life? And it's not that he's wanting to prevent us from having a good time. You know, I'll be honest with you. Whenever I was young, I thought Christians were really weird. I thought, why would I want to be that? I'll never have fun. And they're always so boring and strange. And then I became one just to realize it's all true. We are strange. I mean, the blood is my favorite part of the Bible. The blood, you know. And John Chris talked about a comedian, Christian comedian we went and saw a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, I wonder why newcomers are leaving the church as soon as they walk in. Because as soon as they walk in the door, you say, let us wash you in the blood today. Like, how warming. That's just weird. That's strange. You know, I never grew up thinking I want to be washed in the blood. Bring it down. I want to be washed in the blood. Whose blood is it? HIV or not? Like, let's just get the blood going. Like, it's just strange that that's what we sing songs about. We sing songs about the blood. We sing songs about the Mount Calvary and how a cross was carried up. We sing songs about a tomb that is empty. Like, there's nothing in there. Why would we sing a song about it? Because it brings us hope, and it brings us life, and it brings us joy that the tomb is empty. And I realized that, you know, that's strange. And then I started to see how my marriage was changing and how I had to deny myself of seeing other people. And they would always ask me to come together and to get together and to hang out. And I had to say no. And it was very difficult, because it was a discipline I had to carry out in order to truly deny myself of my pleasures and the lifestyles in which I used to live in. And they would say, oh, come on out Friday night, Saturday night. I said, no, I can't. I have to develop this discipline of saying no. You know, that's very difficult for me. It's not just one taco, it's two. Like, I ain't saying no. It's not just first or seconds. I'm going three trips. Like, I just go all in or nothing. I had to tell my friends no. And I remember telling my wife, I said, you know, the more I think about it, the more my friends who I used to hang out with, the more I realize how boring they really are, because the only way they have fun is if they're highly intoxicated. They must be pretty boring if that's the only way that you can be social and have fun and have a good time. So I said, I have to deny myself of that. I have to move on, because if we really want to deny ourselves and be who we claim to be, we have to take the words of Paul when he says, whatever you do, whether it's eating, drinking, anything that you do, it should be done unto the glory of God. That is what he said. So I have to realize, in order to truly live for him and to deny myself, all things that I do are to be bringing glory to his name. Because I have to remind myself that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, not me. I have to remind myself, Psalm 118 verse 24 says that today is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I have to remind myself that I didn't create any of this other than the two little, you know, heathens downstairs. I didn't create, who laughed at that? I didn't create any of this stuff. None of this is for my name. None of this, it's not Pleasant Hill, you know, Trevor Church or Trevor Church of Potosi, Missouri. It's not for me. It's not about me. I'm just part of it. Like, none of this is for me. None of this is from me. None of this is in my name, by my name. All things were created through the name of Jesus. All things were created from him. All things were created for him to bring him glory and to bring him praise and honor to his name. That's it. Your number one priority in this life is to bring glory to the name of God by loving him and then loving others, by sharing his word with others, by loving others and caring for others. And once I realize that this is not about me, as difficult as it is, I must deny myself that this is not about me. This is not all about me. It's not all about just my family. It's not just all about my future. It's not just all about you. It's all about him. Every breath you take, it is from him. It wasn't until God breathed into man that the man became a living being. It's nothing about who you are, nothing about who I am. It's simply all about him. And until I could deny myself to live for him, I found out that the longer I denied him, I was living for me. Because the reality is, you will live for one of two people. You will either live for him or you'll live for yourself. There is no, you know, happy medium. I can't live for him and then live for money. It's just not going to work. Jesus talks about it. I can't serve two masters. I can't live for and long for building a homestead with my family, but then also having the same pursuit in a career path and power within a position. I can't do it. One thing's going to fail and the other I'll be committed to. I can't be living for him and then also living for me. It's just not going to work. So I must deny myself by developing a discipline of saying no to me each and every day. You know, and taking that psalm serious, that today is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. What do you do each and every day? How do you start your day? Do you complain about how traffic didn't suit you? Do you gripe about how you woke up late? Because I do that. I gripe that I woke up late instead of thanking God that I did wake up. I gripe about how, you know, people are driving slow on the road instead of thanking him that I have the ability to see to drive on the road. I mean, those are just little things that I do. I gripe about people not helping me out doing things at work, but then I'm just thankful that I have the ability to fulfill my duties in my position. I'm thankful. And sometimes I forget that it's not all about me. It's all about him. I have a very difficult time denying myself. It's difficult. And it's something that we're going to struggle with as long as we live. Because even in the beginning, in the garden, they thought it would bring pleasure to them. So the longer I live in pleasures of sin, the longer I live away from the promises, the presence, and the power of God. That's true. And the longer I don't deny myself and live with him, the longer I am disconnected from him. You know, if you were to take two branches of a tree that you cut down, one from a month ago and then one from a day ago, you would find that the one that you broke off the tree a day ago still had some leaves on it, right? You would find that. But the one you took off a month ago would probably have nothing. It would be bare. And it's just the same illustration for you and me. The longer I live disconnected from him, the barer I get, the more broken I appear. But if I can deny myself and forget all about myself, I will then soon realize that I can know all about him. I will know all about his mercy. I will know all about his grace. I will know all about his promises for me, for my wife, for my kids, for my ministry. I will know all about who he is and what he's done for me. But the longer I live for me, the shorter I have to live for him. And I think that, you know, along with sin, there are other things that we like to live with, things that are good, people, possessions. The rich young ruler, it was a story that was mentioned in the book this week. You know, he had everything that he wanted. He had power. He had possession. He had wealth. He had everything. And Jesus said, just get rid of all of it and come follow me. And the man walked around, or he walked away sad because he was connected to those possessions rather than connected to the presence of Jesus Christ in his life. And the reality is, we have to decide, am I going to live for me or am I going to live for him? There is no happy medium of, oh, I live for Jesus on Sundays and Wednesdays or Mondays and Sundays, but I live for me most of the other time. It is just simply all in, all or nothing for one or the other. It's just simple. It's clear as could be. You're going to choose to live for him or you're going to live for yourself. And I want him to remind me, I want to hear the words, job well done, my good and faithful servant. And whenever we call upon the name of the Lord, if you want to claim that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your lives, it's simply this master and slave mentality. That's what it is. That's what Lord really means. And I'm so glad Kyle Eidemann, if you read your book, you've found that out, and he brought it up, that if I want to call Jesus my Lord, I am simply surrendering all of my rights, all of my life, all of my marriage, all of my joy to him. Because when I deny myself and I follow him, I realize that I'm denying myself of temporary joy or temporary happiness, and I'm going to find eternal joy and eternal happiness and peace regardless of what's going on, regardless of how difficult life becomes. I have the peace of God. I have the joy of God. I have the love of God, the grace and the mercy of God in my life because I have denied myself of who I am and within my power. The reality is the longer we live within ourselves, the easier we find that we are simply destructible. We're simply destructible. It doesn't take much to get me flustered. Does anybody else get flustered at a little bit? I mean, it takes one word, one look. Don't do it. One look, one word. I'm destroyed. I'm destroyed. And the more I rely on my own strength or my own peace or my own joy, the faster I am actually destroyed. It's just the reality of who I am. And I would say there's others here that if you relied on your strength, you would find that you grow weary extremely fast. And if you relied on your joy, you would find that your heart is broken more times than not. If you relied on your peace, you would have so much anxiety that it would keep you up at night. But if I could deny myself and live for him, I would be seeking and finding ultimate joy, ultimate peace, ultimate love, mercy, and grace. So it's simply, he said, if anyone would come after me, I love how he starts it. He said, let him deny himself. It's kind of like he gives us an offer. Hey, here it is. Let him decide if he wants to do it. And I think he would be looking at us and say, let her decide if they want to do it. I'm not going to force you to follow me. I'm not going to force you to love me. It's just simply a sacrifice that you have to make. It's a decision that you have to make. It's a development of this discipline that you have to choose in order to truly follow me. You decide. He's offering it to you. Even today, he's saying, let the people of Pleasant Hill decide. Let him, let her come after me. Let them come if they want to deny themselves. So the question is this, what are you doing about it? I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue to live for you, finding that your life is temporarily happy, temporarily sad? Or are you going to live finding peace and joy and love and life and mercy and grace that will dwell forever and ever? Are you going to live in temporary pleasures of sin and temporary, you know, satisfaction? Or are you going to live in eternal life and in life more abundantly? Are you going to follow you and what you want? Are you going to live this life as me and singing all about me, all about my feelings, all about my desires, all about my opinions, all about my retirement, all about my money, all about my fun, all about my weekend, all about me, 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 me? Or are you going to discipline yourself to say, no, I'm going to live for and follow you? Because I think if Jesus could say this, I think he would finish it with a capital M and a capital E. He would say, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the great I am, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It's up to you. He's saying, let them pick up their cross. Let them deny themselves. And I think he would be saying that to you and me today. Let you deny yourself. Let me deny myself. Will you pray with me?